Welcome back to CIOs and Bowties. This is Greg Silberman, your CIO. We have a fascinating guest, Shraddha Sharma, all the way from Bangalore on the phone. And Shraddha is the founder of Your Story, essentially a platform that has chronicled over 80,000 stories of startups, founders, etc. in India. India's a population, did you say 1.4 billion, if I got that right, Sharma?
Going to 1.4, right now 1.3 something.
Right, so a massive population, median age of 27, so a huge amount of untapped entrepreneurial spirit. In the previous section, we spoke about the ability for the access to capital for some of these people who've never had access to capital before, and the ability to spread their entrepreneurial wings. So one of the marquee moments in the venture space for India, I guess, was the acquisition of Flipkart by Walmart. And I want to say that was probably a year ago, but you can correct me on that. And I think it was for about $16 billion. So how's that worked out for Walmart, Shraddha?
So yes, it was a year back and it was $16 billion. Yeah. So Gregory, it's playing out as we talk. And I would say that so far, so good and good, because if you look at the FY18 filings of Flipkart, the marketplace arms revenue grew by 36%. The losses have narrowed. They have a very strong CEO in India. Flipkart has someone called Kalyan Krishnamurthy, who was earlier with Tiger Global. And he's a very strong operating professional and who's bringing a lot of streamlining in Flipkart. And I see that Flipkart would be one of the, of course, this time will tell, but the way Flipkart is doing and winning, because right now they're the largest e-commerce company in the country. Amazon is inching closer, but Flipkart has maintained consistently its number one position. So I think if they play their cards well, and I don't see why they shouldn't continue, because they understand the Indian market very well, the Indian DNA. So I think there they have a very strong operating leverage, because they have been here for 10 years. They have a huge, a strong tech and product team, which is constantly understanding the Indian consumer, the products, the basket of products. So, so those things are helping Flipkart stay ahead, despite Amazon giving a very tough competition and putting a lot of money in the Indian market. So I would say, and of course, the whole culture of innovation in Flipkart, they've maintained that, and they're aggressively chasing for, interesting opportunities to acquire. And they recently, there was this new restructuring, the FDI norm, which the Indian government came up with, but they in a very nimble way, they comply to it. So I would say that Flipkart has a very interesting future, and the numbers and the revenues and everything is speaking for itself.
Excellent. Well, I don't have to understate the importance of that, because, there'd be many other large multinational companies looking to make acquisitions in India and looking closely at the Walmart's experience with Flipkart. So not to understate how important that is, that works out well for India, for the startup community. So I'm going to flip sides, because I'm anxious to ask this question, but tell us the wildest story that you've chronicled on Your Story. Regale us, if you don't mind, with a couple of stories about, some of the weird things that you've come across or seen, or successes you've seen, or just, heartwarming experiences that you've had.
So a lot of those, Gregory. One of the stories that, in India, while there is, we have a lot of opportunities right now in the country, there are a lot of challenges also. So one of the big challenges is that when it comes to women, the menstruation issues, there are millions of women who were deprived of just a basic sanitary pad during their periods. And there is this amazing Indian entrepreneur who built this innovative sanitary pad in a very small village, and he was able to provide this, you know, so in US you would have, or in India for that matter, we have P&G, you have Unilever, which mm-hmm. provides all these products, but that also comes at a price. What do you do for people who would pay lower? So there was nothing low cost sanitary pad. But this guy, Arunachalam Murganantham, it's a very difficult Indian name, was able to create low-cost sanitary pads. And to me, that was innovation. If the business is thriving, he's supplying to millions of women, he's become a very successful entrepreneur, and you have to meet the man. Like, it was his personal, he could not, you know, his wife could not have a sanitary pad, and that's how he innovated and built this. And to me, these are original stories, and we have so many millions of original stories from across the country of people who have so limited, you know, they have such limited resources. Mm-hmm. And while many people would have despair and many people will feel, you know, depressed, but these guys in that moment of darkness and despair, they go and innovate, and then they sustain, and then they fight it out, and they come as winners. So there's so many local heroes. And I honestly, Gregory, I've been able to run your story for the last 10 years, and I will continue to do it for many years, because every day you get to hear such brilliant, such inspiring, and such humbling stories. And one of the amazing things, are that, you know, the stories that we tell, and people, when they share their stories, they are able to get clarity on their own vision and go out and do so much. That your story also has become a platform where, when we share these stories, they're able to get customers, raise funds, and so many things are happening. And to me, that's very magical. Like, on an everyday basis, you're able to see the impact.
Yeah. Well, I can, you know, I can just hear from your voice that is the most rewarding side of what you do, and you certainly are energized by it. And so, again, it's that giving mentality, which I always come across with great entrepreneurs, that, you know, really elevates you and the other entrepreneurs to a higher level. So we should never forget that, you know, we are investors at heart, and for better or for worse, we're always seeking a profit, but there's always a human angle that we should seek to uplift and to make better. So here's one other question that I'm curious to ask. Again, you know, I come from South Africa. There are 11 official languages in South Africa. And I came across an article on your story talking about 10 regional languages in India, I think Hindi being the most common language. So talking towards, you know, dominating the content space in India, what are you seeing there? How are people addressing the different language barriers, different regional barriers? You know, how does one become the Yahoo of India in that respect?
You know, so again, a great question. See, India has been, just to set a context, see, India is a young country also, in the sense that we got independence from Britishers in 1947. So what it meant is that English became the national currency to getting jobs, and it became the language, you know, the aspirational language. So everyone in the country had to learn English. So it's very unlike China, because in China, you'll hardly find anyone who'll speak English. But mm-hmm. in India, we have not just 10 languages, but we have like multiple of sub languages, multiple, like we would have like hundreds of, you know, languages spoken by just a cluster of people, the variants of those 10 national languages. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, but English was the unifier. But the good thing is that with the economy doing well, with the country doing well, people have gone back to speaking, you know, so there's no more this thing that, hey, you have to be transacting or talking in English to get, you know, to be successful. And the other thing is that the 500 million people who are in the smaller towns of India and in the villages who have the disposable income now, they don't speak English. So they talk in their own languages. So technology, to me, is becoming the vehicle through which, you know, and their language, reaching them in their language is the biggest opportunity and the biggest frontier in this country. And there are a lot of people who are now, and if you ask all the big investors here, they're just looking for, as you said, how to get the next Yahoo, next Quora, mm-hmm. next Google, next Facebook, because this audience of 500 million people will consume in their own language. And there are different interesting companies here, like Daily Hunt, which reaches billions, which has around billion page view and reaches around 120 million people per month. Then there is something called ShareChat. So these are applications built, which is catering to people in their own language. So, you know, from the UI of the product to the language they serve in, to the whole understanding of this user base. So I feel that the biggest, some of the biggest opportunity and the next unicorns will be coming from this space, because this is the biggest space.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's preempted my next question. I think you may have said the word opportunity, I wasn't counting, but let's say at least 13 times over the course of our podcast. And so the opportunity we realize is vast, as is India, a vast country geographically as well. So distill for us, if you will, if you were speaking to a family office or a ultra high net worth individual who was interested in investing in India, you know, where do they begin? Where in your research is the best opportunity for success?
I would say 3-4 are the best opportunities for success. One, I would say fintech, because banking in India is going through a very, very rapidly, the traditional banks are disintegrating. There's a huge population which requires a different solutions and to get financially included and have solutions for themselves. So that's very, very big opportunity in India. Second, I would say languages-based solutions. So we call it vernacular, which is non-English language, the local Indian language-based solutions and products. That's a huge opportunity in this country. And two, which I believe are ready to be, like, the more the better, health tech, because we are a country of 1.3 billion. We are the diabetes capital of the world. You name the diseases and they are growing because the lifestyle is getting better. So people are eating more, consuming more. So a lot of lifestyle issues are coming up. And you know, so the private health care solutions in that, to me, are huge. They're like huge opportunities. And see, most of the hospitals that in India are making millions, if not billions, and they're all profitable. So again, solutions related to that, and transportation and mobility, because we are a large country. We have so many states. We have so much of e-commerce growing. There is this whole moving population. There is so much of transaction and business happening in between different states, different cities, and you know, just the support infrastructure of transport and the logistics and leveraging technology and AI to make this whole logistics smooth and fast and more reliable is, again, a huge opportunity. So I don't know, Gregory, if you know that we have an equivalent of Uber, which is giving very tough time to Uber in India, Ola. Again, Ola. Yeah, it's called OLA. It's the largest cab app platform, and today they Uber actually has done very well in the countries they have operated in, but in India it's having a tough time because Ola is giving, again, Ola is a local solution. They have millions of users and they're innovating and they're expanding to different things besides the cab rental that they do. So those kind of platforms, I feel, where you have understanding of local markets, so logistics, health tech, fintech, vernacular, local languages, these are some amazing opportunities, right? The pricing is good, and somewhere if you invest in the right company, you can't go wrong because the customer base is very large. So I would say those are the opportunities.
Okay. Fintech, languages, vernacular, health tech, transportation. Okay, well, it is vast. So we'll have to do a second part drilling into each of these, but this gives us a wonderful insight into the that massive country that you're in. So I have one last question for you, Shraddha, and really the entire podcast is relying on your answer for this, so no pressure there. But you know, my favorite person coming out of India is a gentleman by the name of Sachin Tendulkar, one of the best cricket batsmen I've ever come across in my life. So which cricket team do you support, and who's your favorite cricketer?
You know, of course, in India, everyone is very, very loyal to Sachin Tendulkar. He has made us proud consistently, but there is this new, he's my all-time favorite, but the other one is Virat Kohli. He's the current Indian cricket team's captain, a very, very dynamic guy, and he's breaking all the records, and he's young, and he's been promoted as a captain, and we're performing very well under his leadership. So he's very, very hungry guy, and to me, that represents the new India, hungry, unapologetic, and raring to go, which
very good. I love it. Well, listen, I really appreciate your time today. You've given us a lot to think about. You've given us a lot of insight. I recommend everyone listening to go check out your story. Just a wonderful site, just a fountain of wealth of knowledge, and you know, really interesting. And I suspect you can make a lot of connections into almost any industry that you would like to. So, Shraddha, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And listen, I wish you all the best, and hopefully we get to meet in person sometime when I make a trip over to visit your wonderful country.
Gregory, I hope I have impressed you enough that you will make a visit to my wonderful country.
I will.
Look forward. Great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay. All the best. Bye-bye.